Caroline, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
Can you first give us a little history on the emoji and where it came from?
Definitely. So this was a bit of a surprise in the sense that it was an investigation. There's a fair amount of folklore surrounding the history of emoji, but what we've been able to discern is that emojis began in Japan, that there were cell phone carriers, and they realized that it was easier to text using these emojis rather than texting out the full characters. And so they started developing these different wider varieties of emoticons. And the problem is that there wasn't one uniform code to understand all the different emojis. And so different carriers had different smiley faces, if you will. And if you weren't on the right carrier, they wouldn't show up. And then when we had, you know, other tech gurus from around the world trying to communicate with folks in Japan, they realized that it was even harder. And so that's when the Unicode Consortium got involved. And the Unicode Consortium is a nonprofit that standardizes different characters on the internet. So that way, what might show up for you is the same as what would show up in other parts of the country parts of the world.
That makes a lot of sense. Is sending a smiling face from one place and, you know, turning out with a tongue sticking out probably wouldn't work in a lot of international negotiations, obviously.
Yeah.
But this idea of the Unicode Consortium, what a name. Those are the people who decide which emojis actually get a place on the keyboard?
No. So what happens is the Unicode Consortium, they standardize these different symbols and numbers into one, you know, standard code. And then the different providers, say Apple or Google, can choose what they actually put on their own devices. So that's how it kind of gets complicated, because when I went to go talk with Google or, you know, Apple, for instance, they can say, well, you know, really it's Unicode is the one who's giving us the palette with which we can decide what to offer our customers. And then when you talk to Unicode, Unicode can say, well, we have lots of different options, and it's the choice of the different cell phone carriers or the device operators to decide what they want on their own specific platforms. In this particular case, the Unicode Consortium does not have a hot dog. So that kind of came back to Unicode.
Well, may I ask, when you were investigating this, were you at all surprised at the sort of political intrigue of the emoji?
You know what I found most interesting about it was the huge response that emoji have received, the way in which that they've become their own language of sorts is pretty, you know, widespread, rampant, and perhaps Unicode didn't realize the full spread of that. And in a way, now that they're kind of questioning, where is the limit? Because that's what's fascinating about all of this, is that it comes at the crossroads of the modern technology and modern communication. And who controls that, and where are the restrictions? It's nebulous and still being, you know, those boundaries are still being defined.
Well, Caroline, I guess I have to get back to the central issue here, which is that there is no hot dog emoji.
Right.
Now, what would it take to get a hot dog emoji?
So I asked that question of one of the co-founders of Unicode, and his response, which is like they have a general rule of thumb, which is they try to standardize that which already exists. So, for instance, the reason why we have a lot of emojis that reflect a Japanese nuance is because that's what already existed. In the case of a hot dog, that would have to be a totally new creation. And so the reply was, you know, it's less certain that that's something that would happen. And, you know, he did actually joke a little bit about how the question would be, if you were to have a hot dog emoji, would you do it with ketchup? Would you do it with relish? Here, where I am, based in Chicago, we don't put ketchup on hot dogs. So, you know.
Wouldn't it just take a graphic designer 3 minutes to design a hot dog emoji?
Well, it's much more complicated than that in terms of like the coding, and there's different fonts, and, you know, there's a whole world behind this that makes it a much more laborious process. But to your point, I think that there is this other question going on, which is at what point are we going to expand or shift in the way that we communicate with images, so that we can have a limitless number of options at our fingertips?
It is not just the hot dog. There are several groups campaigning for new emojis. Could you go through some of the other emissions that are getting quite a bit of support?
Sure. So one that's notable and that has received a lot of attention is the demand for diversity in emoji, in representations of different people. So that's definitely something that's being worked on. There's a petition by DoSomething.org, which is entitled Apple, Add More Diversity to the Emoji Keyboard. And I think the idea there is that they want to expand the reflections of people and what they actually look like. But then there were funny ones, or by funny, I really mean lighthearted as well. There's a demand for a taco emoji. Cupcakes is another popular one. There are lists. If you Google, you will find them. It was one of my funnier reporting adventures to be spending time looking for these, but they're not hard to find.
The woman who is leading the hot dog emoji campaign is named Laura Ustick. She's general manager of Superdog Drive-In. That's a hot dog restaurant in Chicago. Producer Zach Nugent spoke with her to see what she's doing to get the hot dog added to the emoji buffet of offerings.
We're using the power of social media, power of the masses, and we are working on, getting other large hot dog purveyors involved. It's a secret at the moment, but we're working on getting them to, do some kind of promotion and events, possibly serving the Unicode Consortium to try to influence their decision, because they are people, too, who like hot dogs.
There is a question, though, of what should be on the hot dog. Can you explain this debate a little bit?
Most importantly, it's no ketchup. We in Chicago are Chicago style all the way, which means it's mustard, relish, onion, pickle, tomato, and celery salt on a poppy seed bun. But we understand that in the world, that's not the most common of toppings, but ketchup is the enemy because it changes the flavor of the dog. It has a sweet flavor. So if ketchup was to be put on the hot dog emoji, it would not represent the country's best interests.
What about us here in New England who eat red hot dogs with ketchup on them? Are we going to need to start our own campaign to get
hot dog? That's the issue, right? We feel that a hot dog with at least mustard on it, that's universal for everyone. You'll have mustard at Fenway, right?
Yeah, we like mustard.
We like mustard, so that's okay. It's ketchup that is really quite the controversial topping, so we should probably stay away from that.
Okay, so what can people do who want a hot dog emoji to help?
They can join our Hot Dog Emoji Coalition on Facebook. They can sign our petition that we sent to President Barack Obama and to the emoji creator in Japan. And the more signatures, the better. And the more people talking about it, the better, and to influence the decision makers.
That is Laura Ustick. She's general manager of Super Dog Drive-In, talking there about her efforts to get a hot dog emoji in the emoji texticon, if I may. Well, Caroline, we just heard of a business using emojis, but aren't emojis just for teenagers? Should adults be communicating using little cartoony pictures?
My goodness, I couldn't begin to answer that question because I suppose it's completely personal. But from what I can tell, it seems like it is used often in personal communication. It's not necessarily the thing that you're going to use to explain your hard work or your dutiful attention to your boss, but perhaps more so to explain your excitement at the weekend with your pal.
Do you use emojis?
I do. And actually, the reason why I even, kind of came across this in a way was because my older sister turned me on to emojis. And so now I try. It's really fun to try and communicate in only emoji every once in a while.
Well, a lot of people have taken on that challenge of using emojis. We mentioned the emoji Moby Dick translation earlier. And there's quite a fascination with communicating with emojis in our culture. Tell us a little bit about the Emoji Art and Design Show in New York City.
Right. That was really a neat thing to learn about. So back in December, they had about 30 different art projects, is my understanding, that reflected in some way the rise of emoji and the way that we deal with them in society. They even referred to the zeitgeist of emoji, which I just love. But I spoke with one of the people who worked on the project and said that it received a lot of great feedback. I think it is another example of the ways that technology is influencing our culture and the way we communicate with each other.
Well, Caroline Porter, thank you for your dedication to this hard-hitting investigation.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time.
Caroline Porter, reporter for The Wall Street Journal. She wrote the article, Hot Dog Fan Campaigns for the New Emoji for The Wall Street Journal. And we have more on that and more on the Emoji Art and Design Show in New York City, where you can see an installation called The Garden of Emoji Delights and take a look at emoji wallpaper, among many other things. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. Thanks so much for joining us today. If you do like what you heard, there's much more at wordofmouthradio.org. And we do have a challenge for all pet owners out there. Yesterday, producer Taylor Quimby shared a curious sound that his dog, Angel, makes. Yep, pretty much sounds like a tent being unzipped. So we're conducting some completely unscientific research and would like to hear from you. Does your pet sometimes make strange sounds? If so, go to the voice memo feature on your smartphone and hit record. Or take a video of your pet in action, then send it to us. There are step-by-step directions for doing it on our website, wordofmouthradio.org. I'm Virginia Prescott. Please join us for more Word of Mouth this Saturday at noon, right here on New Hampshire Public Radio.